Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer nationally, and for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. The AFL trade period, thank goodness, is over. It went out with a whimper. And we're going to talk some cricket now, because that is the sport of the summer coming up. And as if we needed anything else other than the Ashes, there was to-ing and fro-ing. Will they come? Won't they come? What are the restrictions going to be? How many days quarantine? But the good news is that Joe Root's men are on their way. They have named a 17-man squad for the Ashes. Ben Stokes, Joffa Archer, Ollie Stone and Sam Curran are the only four that are unavailable. So we thought we'd get in BBC cricket presenter extraordinaire, Henry Moran. Henry, welcome to you. Welcome to Sports Day.
Lovely to be here. How are you doing?
We're doing really well. Henry, how strong is this squad without those four?
It's pretty much as much as England could have hoped for, because, you know, it's only about 10 days ago we were going through the list of those names that you'd normally expect to see in an England squad and thinking, well, who's going to be missing? Because there was all this talk about players being slightly cautious about the amount of touring that's happened in the last 18 months or so, and that the pressures that might be on in terms of quarantine and one thing and another. And so to have Joe Root there leading the side, to have Stuart Broad there, Joss Butler, those names that, you know, you look at and you think they really are the ones that England's team is built around, that is a huge thing for England, because to not go into an Ashes tour with those would be a real stretch and a real strain for England. So that is a big, big bonus. The question now is how they're going to cope without that key all-rounder Ben Stokes. He missed the last Ashes in Australia. He dominated parts of that Ashes series in England in 2019. And so to not have him as that crucial balancing figure in the middle of the lineup, that's going to be the big miss for England.
Henry, can I take that a little bit further? Jeffrey Boycott said Joe Root's man must be ready because Australia can be cruel. I've heard Angus Fraser on different parts go, it can be a brutal place. It tests everything physically, mentally. You've got the experienced bowlers. There's no Stokes. But you go through the batting lineup, you know, the squad that's been picked. Bess, Crawley, Hamid. You even go to Dan Lawrence, 23, 24-year-olds coming out to Australia. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, massively tough. And I think there's no greater test for any player, any England player playing Ashes cricket. There is no greater test than playing in Australia. And if you look back to the last time that England had success in Australia in an Ashes series in 2010-11, it was that top three that did so much of the damage. That top four, arguably, with Strauss, Cook, Trott, Peterson, all real battle-hardened players that had been there and done it before. I think the interesting thing for England in this series is there isn't that expectation, because going into the last few, there's always been that sense of, well, you know, we've got great players, we're doing really well, we've won a lot of series coming into it. Actually, there isn't that much pressure on England. So there is maybe just a little bit on Joe Root because of the year that he's had. He's been in astonishing form against India, both in India and at home during the English summer. But there isn't that much pressure on the likes of Haseeb Hamid, who comes into the side having played a handful of test matches. And the conversation, the narrative in England is quite an interesting one at the moment, because normally at this time of year building up to an Ashes series, it's all this talk about, well, can England win? And actually, there is a little bit of that. But really, it's, you know, we're so glad that this series is happening because there were so many concerns that it wouldn't. And this team go out there, they know that they're under the pressure. They haven't got their leader in terms of the all-rounder on the field, Ben Stokes. So let's just see what happens. So maybe that lack of pressure will just help England a little bit. And let's not forget, this is an England team that has played an awful lot more test cricket in the last 2 years than Australia has. And that could be quite significant.
Okay, Henry, the Australian top three has night sweats over Broad and Anderson. So we're pretty much 3 for 10 in the last couple of Ashes series. Jack Leach looks like the number one spinner. So he's going to roll out 58 and a half overs each innings. But who's getting the middle order? Who's the fourth bowler? Is it Wokes and Wood go to the tried and tested? Are you going to roll out a young Ollie Robinson, or you go back to Craig Overton?
This is a good question. I think Ollie Robinson is a really exciting bowler for England. He had a brilliant breakthrough summer this year. He doesn't seem to be fazed by the big pressures of test match cricket. And I think the way that he bowls is quite an interesting one. There was quite a lot of comparisons with Josh Hazlewood in that sense that sort of tall, bowls a heavy ball. He just somehow manages to get wickets when others seem to be struggling to do so. He's got that real sort of grit, that power, that determination. And he bowls a sort of length that's quite effective on those hard, bouncy pitches that we're going to see quite a lot of in Australia. I think there's going to be certainly a lot of reliance on Mark Wood to be the express bowler, but he's not the sort of bowler you'd think would play all five test matches just because of the fitness issues that he's had. This would be a very different England team if they had Jofra Archer. We know what he can do. We know how good a bowler he is and how quick he is. But England don't have that, so they're going to have to look to alternatives. Chris Wokes is an increasingly clever, canny cricketer. He'll be particularly effective if the ball moves any way laterally. But I think you look at Ollie Robinson, the way that he bowls, the power that he's got, and the speed that he bowls at, I think it could be really interesting. And let's not forget, he's not going to be seen by many of the Australian players, and that makes quite a difference as well. So there is quite a lot of excitement as to what Robinson could do. I think, as ever, though, people are looking at James Anderson and Stuart Broad and thinking, well, this could be, you know, again, where England look to try and put the pressure on Australia's top order. And I had quite an interesting conversation with Jimmy Anderson after the last Ashes series. And there was all this talk, well, is this the last time you're going to be in Australia? He looked at me like I was an idiot and said, of course it's not, because I don't want to leave my final memory of Australia and playing against Australia in the Ashes to be a losing one. So he's determined and he wants to have success.
What about the batting order and the lineup? I mean, I know Joe Root, you tell me, Henry, if this is overstating, it's probably in career best form. But other than that, there's a lot of averages of mid-30s and under in the middle order. Does that concern locals over there as you make the trip across?
Yeah, no question. That's absolutely the worry. And Root's year has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, if he manages to score 80 more runs at the end of this calendar year, he will have scored more runs in 2021 than Tim Payne has in his entire Test career.
That's
amazing. That is the sort of level of year that Joe Root has had. And he has had an extraordinary year. And as always with these things, when one player does much better than anyone else, it's brilliant, but then you worry what happens when they stop performing and they go out of a bit of form. And so there is a lot of pressure on Rory Burns, on Haseeb Hameed, on Dan Lawrence. The one that I like as a pick for England is David Malan, who scored 100 at the Wacker in the last Ashes series. So he's been there, he's done it. He's a little bit older, more experienced. And so I'm pleased to see him in that side. I think that's a good pick. But there is a little bit of fragility there. The likes of Ollie Pope could be outstanding, but has yet to necessarily do it consistently. But Ashes series are opportunities as well as huge sort of pressure situations. So if one player goes well in the first game, it could be vital. I look back to James Vince getting run out for 83 at the Gabba in the last series in Australia. I think if he goes on to make 100, not only is it a very different series, but he has a very different international career. So it's small margins. And as always, so much will rest on that first game. Who performs, who does well, who gets in a bit of form.
Now, spot on, Henry. And yeah, Ollie Pope is a prodigious talent, just yet to hit that mark at the moment. Now, cricket and the press go hand in hand in England. They're either with you or against you.
I think anything and the press go hand in hand in England. Yeah.
They either have Australia in their sights or they have their own team in their sights. When they leave the shores, what's the vibe going to be like?
I think it's going to be reasonably positive, actually, because we've got this, you know, fragility with sport at the moment. And I think that because the last 18 months have had sport cancelled and tours cancelled, and be it football to cricket, there's been this sense that when you see sport, it feels like a real privilege. No longer is it a right, because we've been without it. And we've had that experience of realising quite how special it is to be able to see high-level sport happening. And so I think there will be a little bit of forgiveness to the England side. And also because the narrative of, you know, the challenges that have existed in the last 2 years have been quite well put forward. And there's been quite a lot of understanding that initially, inevitably, there was that slight sense, well, you're highly paid athletes. What on earth are you complaining about? But when it's all broken down and the pressures that have been put under some of these players that have had to go into month after month after month of quarantine to be entertaining the public, essentially, there is a little bit more understanding and acceptance of those difficulties that people have had. So I think that sense is possibly going to help England. And there is, as I say, just a little bit less expectation on this tour because of the players that are missing, because of the way that Australia have been in the last couple of Ashes series in Australia. So, you know, if England lose heavily in the first game, that could all change. But at the moment, I think it's quite a timid, relaxed press that are quite happy to see the England team go, give it a good shot and see what happens after the first couple of matches.
Henry, great to have you on. We're looking forward to the first test here. We hope it's a whitewash and it's 4-0 and we send your boys packing. But, you know, in the interest of fairness, good luck in the upcoming series.
No worries at all. I'm going to get back to trying to decipher what Justin Langer was on about on LinkedIn.
No, don't. Henry, do us a favour or do yourself a favour. Don't ever try to wonder or translate what Justin Langer is talking about. We've tried that here before many times. It hasn't worked.
All right, I'll do my best.
Good on you, Henry. Henry Moran there, BBC cricket presenter extraordinaire. A little bit of confidence in the England camp, as I assume there would have to be going into an Ashes tour. I don't think, you know, I've listened to the likes of Alan Border and Brendan Julian in the last few days who think it's going to be, you know, 3-1, 4-0. I'm not so sure. They've played a lot more cricket than us in the last 18 months.
But what's been highlighted is their three probably go down as the three their greatest players, top 10, you know, wherever you rank people.
Yep.
You know, Broad, Anderson and Root.
Yep.
The two bowlers, it's so much weighs on their shoulders.
Definitely.
And he just highlighted, it's Joe Root or bust at the moment. They've got a young emerging top six.
Yeah, but you almost guarantee that one of those, well, I'm not saying dominate the series, but one of those will pop up and make us think, oh, hang on.
Well,
this bloke's all right.
Ollie Pope's the one they're wanting to pop. He mentioned it there.
We know his talent.
Yeah, but he just really hasn't exploded on the test scene just yet.
Okay, more coming up on Sports Day after this.